This is day 9 in our seminar on the footsteps of Paul. After walking on the Ignatian Way, we will visit two of the cities found in the book of Acts, Philippi and Thessalonica. On the way to Philippi, our tour will stop at the river where Paul baptized Lydia. It was a place the Jews called the place of prayer, since there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi. It was a half a mile from the city. Those who accepted Christ were baptized in the river, which they considered to be living water, because it was moving. Lydia was from Thyatira, one of the seven churches of Revelation. It was known for the purple dye made from madder root. Lydia brought the skill of dyeing and selling purple fabric to Philippi.
This is a beautiful sight. I have to admit, it's one of my favorite. It provides a baptismal area for those who want to get baptized. The church at this location is called the Baptistery of St. Lydia. There is a mosaic map on the floor of the church that shows Paul's journey through Turkey and Greece. From there, we will move on to the ruins of Philippi.
King Philip conquered the city and renamed it after himself. It became a wealthy community because it was located on major trade routes, was near a port, and had gold and gem mines in the area. The best remains of that period is the Greek theater, which is in good condition. Macedonia was conquered by the Romans 160 years before Christ. Little is known about Philippi until 42 BC, when one of the most important events in Roman history took place outside its wall. Rome went from being a republic to being an empire. It happened after the assassination of Julius Caesar. Two armies faced off near Philippi. One was led by Octavian and Mark Antony, and the other one by the assassins, Cassius and Brutus. Octavian and Mark Antony won the battle and killed the assassins. Octavian became the first emperor, known as Caesar Augustus. After that, all the people of the city were made citizens of Rome, and it became a popular place for military veterans to settle. It became a major outpost for the empire, so Rome built them public baths, a mini gymnasium, a library, various temples to pagan gods, and an aqueduct for its increasing population. One of the best-preserved ruins in the ancient city is its public toilets. It fed about 35 people at a time. Men and women were not separated. They shared the same facility. Slave owners had their servants go first to warm up the cold stone. Occasionally, rats would crawl up and bite those sitting there. Flies were a problem, and they spread disease. A buildup of methane gas would occasionally ignite. Philippi was a city of around 10,000 people, with possibly another 5,000 in the surrounding area. 40% were service workers. 20% were farmers. 20% were considered poor. And 20% were slaves. Less than 1% were the elite. We will visit the Philippi Agora, which the Romans called a forum. As in other Roman cities, the marketplace was the heart of ancient Philippi. It was surrounded by public buildings and shops. It was a social place where business was conducted and people argued politics. Paul may have conducted his tent-making craft there. In the 7th century A.D., Philippi suffered a massive earthquake that destroyed many of the buildings. After that, the city endured many conflicts until it was completely deserted around the 14th century. Now, it's true that the ruins of Philippi are not spectacular in themselves. Still, they remind us of the great people who walked there: Alexander the Great, Augustus, the Apostle Paul, and the doctor who lived there for a while, Luke. Also, they remind us of the great events that happened there: the beginning of two world empires, the Greek Empire and the Roman Empire, the conversion of the first Christian in Europe, and the first church built in Europe. For several hundred years, it was a center of Christianity for Europe. The Agora was where Paul cast out the demon from a slave girl. Many English translations say that the slave girl had the spirit of divination. The original Greek says that she had the spirit of Python. This connects her fortune-telling ability to Python from Greek mythology and the Oracle at Delphi. The Agora was where Paul stood before the city authorities and was accused of practicing anti-Roman activities. His prison was also in this area. There is a traditional spot for the prison, but the exact location is not known. It should be noted that the Christians at Philippi were one of the few who sent support to Paul. Well, when we're done visiting Philippi, we'll be going to see the ruins of Thessalonica before turning in for the night. For those who want to go deeper with this session, go to BT Stories and watch the Story in Insights, number 239, called First European Believer. The cultural teaching for this day will be first century travel. The Caesar of the day will be Nero. Here's your tip for the week. Unlike Turkey, most Greeks are able to speak English, and they do love to talk. So don't be surprised if a simple greeting with a stranger turns into a long conversation, and even an invitation to have a meal with their family. Oh, and don't be alarmed with how loud they talk and their use of huge gestures. Our time is up, so I'll be talking to you next week.